Blog Talk Radio.
All right, showtime, different cast, different crew, but same idea, sports. Radio on the air, Randy Vasilio with Jay Vasilio. Good morning, Jay. Jay, I hope I pronounced your last name right. I hope I didn't butcher it too much. I apologize if I did.
No problem, Randy. How are you?
Good, buddy. Good morning. You know, it's a beautiful Sunday. Isn't it amazing how, like, 2 days ago it was, like, snowing, like it was no one's business here in the East Coast, and then, like, today it's 60 degrees out. I feel like this is, like, you know, bizarro world.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Northeast in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, that's completely 100% on the money. If you want to contact the show today, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. So much going on in the sports world today. Jay, I don't know exactly where we should start. I think the right place to maybe start would be, I guess, with all the news that's been coming out of the NFL. In the last week, we had Charles Curtis on with Gary Kasper and Ryan Stern. We were all talking about some of the offseason moves that are going on around the league and some of the things that happened. And you being a football guy, I think we've touched on this at one point or another, is the Joe Flacco contract. And you being a football guy and you being a rival against the Ravens, being a Steelers guy, is his contract warranted and valuable at this point? Is it a warranted contract? $100-something million for Joe Flacco?
Yeah, I would say that he's in the prime of his career and he just came off winning a Super Bowl. So he happened to be a free agent at the right time and he's cashing in. Just because I'm not sure if he's the highest paid quarterback in the league or not, but his time was now, and again, he's capitalizing on it. He's certainly not the best quarterback in the league, but when you have a quarterback that can win you a Super Bowl and has proven, you know, that's invaluable, and you got to keep him. So, you know, he bet on himself and not signing an extension before the season, and he won.
Yeah, but I'm one of those people where the guy who gets that big contract first is setting the market for everybody else. So is Flacco better than Brady? Is he better than the Manning brothers? Is he better than Aaron Rodgers? Because you have to warrant that money. You have to say, this is, you know, Joe Flacco is the best player in football to get that first, that real big contract. Again, he had a good Super Bowl. His numbers are decent, but you can put up the best numbers in the world, but unless those numbers are coming at meaningful times, the people don't remember. Like, they were on borderline possibly not making the playoffs up until the last 3 weeks of the season when they made that coordinator change. So, you know, I guess the real question is, at the end of the day, are we looking at Joe Flacco as an elite quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah. Just go back in time. And the only other non-elite quarterback, or the only elite quarterback in, I don't know, the last 20 years, to have won a Super Bowl is Trent Dilfer, and he rode, ironically enough, also with the Ravens, but he rode his defense. Joe Flacco has made the playoffs all 6 years of his career. He's won at least one game in the playoffs all 6 years in his career, and, you know, now the icing on the cake is a Super Bowl championship, and he's a free agent now, so he's able to he's able to cash in. Just because he's the highest paid quarterback, that does not make him the best quarterback in football. It's just, you know, oftentimes when a free agent becomes available, the next guy is going to be the highest paid quarterback. Whenever Rodgers and Brady and Brees and Manning, they all should get more money than Joe Flacco. But You know, they're not free agents right now. So timing is everything, as they say. And again, he is now into the echelon, the upper echelon of elite quarterbacks.
What do your Steelers have to do this offseason? Again, you're talking to a Giant fan, but also a around the area type of guy, you know, following the bigger stories. As a football analyst, what do the Steelers need now to move forward? We're going to be jumping around with the NFL on and off today. What do your Steelers need at this point?
Well, I think a lot of the process was helped or started just yesterday. They released James Harrison, who was the Defensive Player of the Year just a few years ago. But, you know, he's someone that was going to make a lot of money this year, and he's an older player. So they cut him. They're over the cap. They need to get underneath it. They're an old team. Their age has shown the last few years. So they need to cut the veteran players that are not worth the contracts that's coming to them. That's what they had to do with James Harrison. And, you know, there's going to be some more familiar faces that are no longer on the Steelers, i.e. Rashard Mendenhall, Mike Wallace, maybe even Keenan Lewis, cornerback. But, you know, they need to get younger and more athletic and, you know, again, that's what they're doing. So, of course, Ben Roethlisberger takes a lot of punishment. One of their biggest needs would be continue to draft offensive linemen.
And now I guess the real question I have for you is, will Jay be at a Steelers game of some sorts this year?
Will what, Randy? It was a little difficult to understand you.
Will you attend at least one Steelers game this year?
Will I attend a Steelers game? Absolutely.
Okay, that's fair. Again, it's always fun to ask a good question like that. Okay, let's get into a little bit more pressing matters. I wanted to try and do a little bit of NFL football first, because it doesn't seem like there's really a lot going on right now with free agency coming up this week. Let's jump over to the NBA. I only have you with for a short amount of time. We have Patrick Creighton coming in coming out from Houston in a little bit. He's got some great stories for you, and this is a great topic that we're going to have with him, and he'll enjoy this. He's, you know, he just got a job transfer. He's now doing radio down in Houston, and while he was down there, when I spoke to him yesterday, talking to him about coming on the show and so on and so forth, I said to him, I said, he must be loving watching all the Rocket games and, you know, the Astro preseason. He says, no, he's like, they don't show the games down here. I said, you're in Houston, right? He goes, yeah. I said, how are they not showing the games? So he said, well, the Rockets and the Astros started their own sports network. Problem is, none of the providers want to buy into, just like, you know, the S Network had to get the cable providers to buy into their network. No one's buying into the Astros Rockets network. Now, if you're the Yankees, you have different fans all over the country. Are we in agreement on that?
Absolutely. And you're also in the biggest city in the U.S.
Okay. So we have that. So the Yankees fans will buy the YES Network no matter where they are, whether they're in Texas, whether they're in California. Yankee fans are Yankee fans, and they always stay loyal to their team. So with that being said, the Astros and the Rockets are teaming up to try and do the same thing. But there's one problem. How many Houston Rocket fans have you known to be outside of Houston?
Zero.
Okay. How many Astro fans have you met outside of Houston?
Zero.
Okay. Why would you try and start a network and not get access to your local markets?
Well, those TV networks are certainly huge money makers. I think they're even more valuable than the franchises themselves, than the actual teams. So if it works, you make a lot of money. But to be honest with you, I'm not familiar or aware of a team that has tried to do this and has been unsuccessful or able to get it on the local TV station. So all I can say is, why have they tried it? Because if it does work and somebody does pick them up, their revenue is going to increase dramatically.
So you're telling me that if you're a Houston Rocket fan, and this is also, I think we'll get more from this from Patrick. I just find this to be a very fascinating story. This is just me, Jay, and I apologize. The business side of the sports world is a fascinating thing to me. It doesn't stay the same for too long. It just keeps evolving. It just evolves. And this is the part that I find the most interesting about it. It's also its own, I think, 40% by the Astros, 40% of the Rockets, and then Comcast owns it. So you have to own Comcast. So, you know, he'll go more into it. Patrick was coming more on with this as he went to Buffalo Wild Wings. He couldn't even watch the local games. So, but that's neither here nor there. I wanted to jump forward with the NBA because this one of the reasons also is I was watching a little bit of the Rockets game last night on NBA TV. And it just seems like the NBA right now is at that point. They're gearing up for the playoffs. It just seems like we already know who's going to be making it in. It's under a done deal that the Lakers are going to make it in, even though they're not there yet. I ask you, Jay, you being an NBA guy, you're not fully an NBA guy, but you watch the games and you keep up with it. As a casual NBA fan, do you see the Lakers making it in, taking out the Rockets, and the Rockets missing the playoffs? And do you think they can make noise in the playoffs?
It's going to be close. The Lakers are starting to figure things out a little bit more. Everybody knows that Kobe Bryant's had a lot of success. So you tend to go with people that have been there and done that previously. The Lakers certainly fit that bill. The Rockets are young, athletic, and experienced. They do have, a game or two lead right now. They haven't had the success. So you have to think that coming down the backstretch of the season here, that the more veteran team, is going to be able to handle the situation better, and that's the Lakers. So it's hard to imagine, actually, an NBA season without Kobe Bryant and the Lakers in the playoffs. So I will agree with the general public and say the Lakers will get that last spot ahead of the Rockets.
It's interesting, too, because of the Dwight Howard dynamic. Dwight Howard has always been, this is going to come very, especially for me, I think he's one of the most overrated players in the NBA. I said this on the show before, and I've said this to analysts like Mike Fratello. I've said this to Jared Greenberg, who works with NBA TV. All these people who praise Dwight Howard for being as good as people, the Defensive Player of the Year and the most one of those dominant big men in the league right now. When you work with Patrick Ewing 4 years, and he's your big man coach, how do you justify not having much of an offensive game than just rebounding and dunking? And I try to find the logic in it.
I agree with you. I think he is overrated. People, he's 7 feet. He's extremely athletic. The rebounding and blocking shots portion, that just comes naturally. But the fact that he still he really can't score on his own. It's either off a putback or an alley-oop. He does not have any offensive talent. Nothing is more evidence than he can't make a free throw. So, you would think that over the past 4 years with Patrick Ewing as his coach, he would have gotten better offensively. He hasn't. I don't know the numbers on it, but it sounds like his free throw shooting has even gotten worse. Combined all of that with the fact that he has been injured the last year or two, it's quite possible that we've seen the best of Dwight Howard, and he's on the decline, and he is going to be a big disappointment.
Do you feel that bringing in Steve Nash to this has been sort of a mistake on his part?
A mistake by Nash to go to the Lakers?
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's right now. There's a lot of mistakes. The Lakers are on the outside looking in the playoff picture, and nobody would have thought that before the season started. So, I'm sure everybody thought that adding Dwight Howard into the mix, and you know, Pau Gasol and the surrounding cast, that it would be a good transition, and they would have a good team to compete for the NBA championship. Steve Nash thought the same thing. That's probably why he signed there. I'm sure the contract and the money that they offered him didn't hurt, but you know, for one reason or another, the Lakers are struggling this year, and you know, everybody—it's a big mistake on many people's fronts. You know, Kobe and Dwight Howard playing together—that doesn't seem to be going well. Steve Nash, Meta World Peace—you know, these guys are definitely past their prime, so. You know, it has been disappointing, and there have been, you could point the finger at quite a few people within the Lakers organization.
You know, we were just talking about free throw shooting at Dwight Howard. Just to give you background on how bad it's been, so far this season, he's 48% free throw shooter. Last season with Orlando, he was 49%, the year before, 59%, 59% the year before that, 59% the year before that. His rookie season in 2004-2005, he was a 67% free throw shooter.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know, he's a professional basketball player, and Randy, you'll get a kick out of this one. I was actually at the Nets game on Friday night, and they were fouling Reggie Evans. And, you know, he couldn't make a free throw. So I just cannot understand how an NBA player, when it's your job, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, about bills to pay or going to work. It's your job to go to the gym and learn how to shoot a free throw. The fact that anybody in the league is under 75% is beyond me. There's 24 hours in the day. You can't make a free throw on a regular basis. It's pathetic and inexcusable.
Here's the most amazing number, too, and this is the part you're going to get a kick out of. In the 2010-2011, he took 916 free throw attempts, made 546 of them. This year, he's attempted 505 free throws, and he's hit 244. For his career, 6,232 attempts, made 3,610 of them. Now, if you go to somebody like a Steve Nash, look at his free throw percentage, it's like 90%. And you look at this, like, this is like you just said, this is a shame, you know. It's because what do you get paid to do? I just don't understand the appeal of Dwight Howard. I think there's much better guys who are cheaper who can do what he does, and so the team will have more success. You know, cause more, it would have more harmony in the locker room. And let's not go too far off from what you were just saying before about you know, Reggie Evans. I think it's a nice segue to go over into Brooklyn to see what's going on. You being a Net fan, I have to ask this: Did you like the moves that were made for this franchise with the salary cap the way it is? Are you okay with having this team for the next 2 to 3, 4 years?
I guess I'm okay with it because they're relevant again, but they are far away from winning an NBA championship, and it's not going to happen with this team. So they put all their eggs in one basket in Deron Williams, and when they made that trade, and ultimately, you know, I think behind the scenes they had to guarantee, you know, hey, look, we're going to you tell me what you want, and what player you want to come here, and we'll get that player. If that's going to make you happy to stay here, then that's what we're going to do. So they got Deron Williams, who, by the way, has been a disappointment. He certainly wasn't on Friday night, but he has not been nearly as good. The biggest waste of money was giving Joe Johnson a max contract. I know he's made clutch shots, but he just stands on the court, dribbles around until the shot clock is at 3, and then he jacks up a fadeaway jumper. So he is not a max contract guy. Gerald Wallace is really a role player that's making a ton of money. And then you have
awful this year. And he's been awful.
What's
this
that?
Year. Gerald Wallace has been awful this year.
Yeah, he can't score. You know, you can't pay a guy that kind of money that can't score. So, you know, that's what I'm saying, where the team is better than what it was the last 2 years, obviously, because they were terrible. So, you know, at least the Nets are going to make the playoffs. They're certainly not going to win, you know, with the group that they have. But, you know, at least you can put them on TV. And for the most part, you know, they have an opportunity to win the game. But they are certainly nowhere close to being on the same level as the Thunder or the Heat. They're a good two or three steps behind them, which, unfortunately, in the NBA, that means you don't get a high draft pick, and you're probably going to draft another mediocre guy, and you're going to be mediocre for quite some time.
I call the Brooklyn Nets the new version of the Atlanta Hawks. Could be in the top three or four of the conference, always be knocked out in the second round until some significant moves get made around the franchise. Now, here's something that we were also talking about. I was looking up and down the standings. I'll let you pick first, the East or the West. I'll let you go first. And I'll let you pick the conference so I can just break this down for you real quick.
Eastern Conference.
Okay, the Eastern Conference. I'll tell you something. Like the bottom half of the conference, you know who the cellar dwellers are. You know, the Washingtons, New Orlandos, and the Charlottes. Charlotte just doesn't have any excuse for being as bad as they are. They don't have star power, and they don't. Their biggest star in that franchise is the owner.
he's been a terrible owner. So you know, he can't play. He can't turn the clock back 25 years. So he's been a terrible executive.
You know, and the Orlando Magic just have been hit with a rash of injuries, and they just don't have a real team. You know, they got nothing from the Howard trade. They just been, you know, obviously people say, well, the way Dwight Howard's playing, who really won that trade? You can't lose the heart and soul of your franchise and expect the next year to get nothing when you get really nothing back in return to be successful. It just doesn't work. The Wizards had an injury bug to John Wall and to other players, and they just never really seem to get off the mark. And I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are what they are. I don't think they have Kyrie Irving, so he's a reason to come to the arena to watch the games. The fans are very loyal to the team, and it showed that after the whole LeBron situation. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are one player away from being back in the playoff hunt. I think they really just need to get another 15-point score to go with Kyrie Irving, and I think they're there. I think we're talking about them being a lower playoff seed. That's how confident I feel about the Cavs. Washington, on the other hand, if they go into next season fully healthy with all that young talent, they're in the playoffs. I don't think we would have this conversation about the Hawks and the Bucks occupying those last two playoff spots. That's just me. That's just how I feel. The Sixers have been nothing but disappointment. Detroit is young, and Coach Frank is doing everything he can to maximize what he has. He just doesn't have a lot of talent there. And the Raptors have been playing better since Rudy Gay got there, but they're not making the playoffs. So, Jay, with all that being said, and the reason why I say that, that's the bottom half of the Eastern Conference. Obviously, Miami winning 17 in a row, now scoring an average by 7 points to their opponent. They have a difference of 7.2. They've won 17 in a row. 20-3 at home, 18-11 on the road, 9-1 in the division, 23-9 in the conference. When you look at the rest, the other seven teams, Milwaukee, Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Brooklyn, Indiana, New York, it's a battle for second place. Who is the second best team in this Eastern Conference?
Take your pick. Now with Stoudemire being hurt, even though he was coming off the bench, I honestly think it's the Chicago Bulls. They've had a ton of injuries, and yet their record's still pretty good. If Derrick Rose can get back this year, then you know they're even good enough to challenge the Heat. But take him out of the equation, and you know I still think it's Chicago, but it doesn't really matter because the Heat are going to go to the NBA Finals anyway.
Okay, I'm going to throw this at you. The Knicks and the Pacers, 8 games. They're tied at tech for a second in the East. 8 games back, Brooklyn 10.5 back, Chicago 12 back, Boston 12.5 back. You just, you know, just like you just said, the Nets a new start. Stoudemire's out, Carmelo's out. Can the Knicks go back to playing, you know, 18-5 basketball, or are they going to go back and play other, you know, the way they were playing beforehand? You know, the way they've been playing more recently. Jay, we have a caller on the line. Real Sports Talk Radio on.
Hey, what's up? My name's Elwood, and I'm calling from downtown Indianapolis.
And,
pretty good. I think the Pacers are number two. They are way above the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls are a VHS tape of Michael Jordan from the 90s. I mean, this Pacers team is good stuff, guys. It don't matter if Rose comes back or not. You know, actually, I think it'll be like Danny Granger coming back. It'll just muddy the waters. But I think this Pacer team, somebody keep your eyes on, because I think they're just going to keep building and building and building. You know. And they're definitely number two. I think they're going to just obliterate the Heat, you know. So, you know, down in Miami. So, as long as there's, you know, they can stay focused, you know, that fight kind of threw them a little bit. But this is the team to watch is the Pacers, you know. I'm loving it. It's like the old Reggie Miller days, you know.
I think with the Indiana Pacers, what they bring to the table that's different, which gives Miami fits, is Miami's not strong up front, and they lack front court depth. And between Roy Hibbert, David West, Hansborough gives them a whole bunch of different problems. And they have guard play, and the Pacers have the guard play to get into the middle, and it can take Bosch out of the game. I think the most important thing for the Pacers is they have to remain physical. Last year during the playoffs, the Pacers tried to double LeBron James, and when you start double teaming, it leaves shooters open, and that's what Miami is hoping for teams to do. They want the double team on both Wade and LeBron. They want to see their shooters, guys like Rashard Lewis, Ray Allen, Mike Miller, Shane Battier, all those guys, you know, Nate Cole. They want to see all those guys open, so LeBron can feed them the ball and they'll get wide open shots. Now, if the Pacers stay physical, take advantage of all six fouls on all their big guys, slow down the Heat, I think the Pacers can give the Heat tons of problems in the playoffs.
Oh,
and maybe even upset them. Yeah, it's just a very, very... The problem is, 17. You can't talk down 17 wins in a row. You can't talk down the amount of talent that that team has. But they do have their flaws. It's just up to the teams now to exploit their flaws. That's going to be...
Randy.
Yes, sir.
I would say that the problem is you threw about five different ifs in there. And then you said, you know, if they can do all these things, then they can play with the Heat. That's too many ifs for me. I'll take LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and the Miami Heat. You can put them in the NBA Finals. Love your passion from Indianapolis. They're a good team. They don't have a lot of star quality. George is certainly getting there.
You know what it is?
But they're not there yet.
The Pacers are a team that's built, not bought. Miami's a team that's bought, not built. So Larry Bird has put together an amazing team here in Indianapolis, and they're going to – I'm impressed. I was there when they beat the Knicks, everybody dancing on their seats, you know, and I was there when they beat the Bulls, and we all got to scream, "Where's your Michael Jordan now?" Super Bowl 41, you know. I mean, it's fun. For so many years, when this turned into a football town, the Pacers kind of got pushed aside, and with Peyton hurting his neck and football kind of going by the wayside because they, you know, lost so much, and the Pacers doing well, it's nice to see them kind of get their spotlight again. This is, you know, a historical basketball state, and it's kind of good to see them, you know, getting their star power again because, you know, the Colts are 2 or 3 years away from dominating again, you know, because Luck's a young fella. But, you know, it's a good vibe here again for the Pacers. It's nice. It kind of was rough there for about a decade. Yeah. It's nice. You know, Pacers are going to be doing good again. Colts are going to be doing good again. You know, as soon as they steal the White Sox down here, it's all going to be great. You know?
I agree with your assessment that it's a team built, not bought.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But and that's great. And if they play in the Eastern Conference Finals, I'm rooting for Indiana for that reason.
Miami spends a lot of big checks, you know.
Sure. But the fact of the matter is you know, they do have a lot of big checks, and they cashed those checks last year when they won the NBA championship.
I agree.
I think they're going to do it again.
I don't think so. I think it's kind of, you know, I always say it's like the curse in football. The worst thing you can do is win the Super Bowl because you're done. You know, if you host a Super Bowl or win last year's Super Bowl, you're about worthless. So I always told my friends, if the Colts were ever going to die, the year we hosted the Super Bowl was the year to do it because we weren't going anyways. So, but hey, keep up the good work, guys. Enjoy the show. I sent you a Facebook like, so have a good time, guys.
Thanks very much.
Sure, check out that Pacer game. I think it's going to be a good one. Wish it was
all
here.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's not. See you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, and there's one thing that, too, it's like the elephant in the room down in Miami that no one really wants to talk about. That LeBron James has a pop clause out of his deal this year, and a lot of people are talking about it. And, you know, it's something that's not being addressed, but people are talking about it. And, Jay, I ask you, if you're LeBron James and you win a second championship, do you go back to Cleveland?
Do you what?
If LeBron James wins a second championship with Miami, do you pack your bags and go back to Cleveland like all these other analysts are predicting that would happen? Would you believe that actually happening?
No, I don't think that will happen. But I think once he wins his second championship, which will be in a few months, then he'll stay there and he'll win his third about a year from now. So, you know, they got something down there. It's a good situation. He got a taste of winning last year, and he's going to continue to do so. The team is loaded.
Yeah, and from what he was saying about the Indiana Pacers, listen, like you said, there's a lot of ifs. He has the right to feel passionate. He's a Pacers fan, and I applaud that, and I love it, and I think that's great that he feels that strong about it. I think that the problem right now the Indiana Pacers have is they're still trying to figure out, you know, in what role Paul George is having with Danny Granger, how many touches Roy Hibbert is going to have, where David West fits in this. Good young team. I do think that if they keep that core together, they're going to be a top three team in the Eastern Conference for years and years to come. But it's almost like with Reggie Miller, with Jordan being there. Reggie Miller is one of the greatest three-point shooters in the history of this game, and one of the best players, the best leaders in this game. But will never get the proper respect because he played in an era where it was dominated by Michael Jordan.
And unfortunately, you have LeBron James right now. So, you know, Reggie Miller has how many NBA championships?
Reggie Miller has none.
Okay, so then that's going to be the same answer for Paul George and Roy Hibbert and Danny Granger because they're not beating LeBron James.
I can't disagree with you on that. And here's the part that this is another question that came up with Kenny Anderson and Jay McGuire when we had them on about 2 weeks ago. We had the debate with LeBron versus Michael, who was better, this and that. And I think you've heard me say this before, too. You take away the Tim Duncans and the Jason Kidds that are currently in the league, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett. We know these guys are Hall of Famers. But I ask you, from this current crop of, when Jordan played, you can say Barkley, Hall of Famer, Ewing, Hall of Famer, David Robinson, Hall of Famer, and those guys still had so much tread left on their tires at that point in time. I ask you to look around the league right now. Is there any surefire Hall of Famers besides LeBron James and Dwayne Wade?
Kevin Durant,
sure. Okay. So Kevin Durant is a surefire Hall of Famer. Who else?
You might want to throw Derrick Rose. You could throw Derrick Rose in there, but you know he's coming off the knee injury, so I don't know how you want to tackle that one. You have Chris Paul.
Okay, Chris Paul. Chris Paul's a, but you know some of these are debatable. Like, you know, right now Durant has so much more to be written in his career. But yeah, you're right. You can say he's Hall of Famer. I can't look at Derrick Rose yet as a Hall of Famer. I can't.
Yeah, but you know what? It's easy to go back in time and say, look at all the Hall of Famers that Michael Jordan played with. You're going to do the same thing with LeBron James. 10 years from now, you'll say, oh, my gosh, look at the careers of Kevin Durant and Bryant Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul. You know, these guys are going to be Hall of Famers. And as you say, and you'll say the same thing 10 years from now. They had a lot of tread on their tires. They're in their prime. It's just he is so much better than everybody else. That's why it's, I think it's easy to overlook how good the other players are because he's that much better.
I have a very hard time with this, Jay. I'm having a very hard time fully believing that that there's some guys that, you know, back then, maybe it's just because it was the aura of the Dream Team, but, you know, it was, you know, Ewing, you can even see when Ewing went to the finals in 04, you knew he was going to the Hall of Fame. Like, you knew he was one of the most dominant big men. Elijah won, same thing. You knew he was a Hall of Famer. Those guys you knew. I'm having a hard time looking around the league right now and saying he's a surefire Hall of Famer. I'm not sold on Derrick Rose yet.
Okay.
He won an MVP. There's been players in this league who won the MVP award who have not been inducted into the Hall of Fame. They're out there.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, he won the MVP at what age? 22? 21?
Right.
I don't think there have been too many people that have done that. So, you know, up until he got hurt, you know, he was trending in that direction. It's hard to say surefire Hall of Famers, but there are a lot of players out there that are trending in that direction. We overlooked Kobe Bryant. I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And you can pretty much crumple up all of the big men that are currently in the NBA because they all stink, and it's no longer a big man driven league. So there's no Olajuwons, Ewings. I don't know if there's any big man other than Tim Duncan that really is going to get in.
Well, I had put Kobe Bryant in that Kevin Garnett field. You know what I mean? I put in that, I'm grouping him together in that little category because he's a surefire Hall of Famer. But I'm gonna go up and down. I'm going up and down the teams right now, and I'm looking at the players that they have. Obviously, the teams like the New Orleans, the Sacramentos, the Phoenixes, they don't have guys. Dirk Nowitzki, Hall of Famer, yes or no?
Who? I'm sorry?
Dirk.
Dirk Nowitzki, absolutely.
Steve Nash, I think he's in.
Yeah, Dirk Nowitzki is absolutely a Hall of Famer. Remember, when he won the I just want to just touch on Dirk again. When he won the NBA championship, I guess 2 years ago, people were saying, is he better than Larry Bird? So just because the Mavericks haven't been that good in the last year or so, you can't overlook that fact. So Nowitzki, 100% Hall of Famer. And did you say Steve Nash after that?
Well, I think it's fair. Both him and Nash. Nash just has a very solid body of work. He's got the years, and I'm like, he goes into that category with Garnett. So these are the veterans of the league that, you know, they have the numbers to back up their play. I'm saying, look at these guys who have been in the league for 4 or 5 years, even 6 or 7 years. You can say their body of work are in question because, you know, there's a lot of those numbers are the same numbers that other people have already had. Like, I'm just, again, looking in the West, no, there's no one in Denver right now that's really blows it out of the way and says they're a Hall of Famer other than their coach. The Clippers, Griffin's young, but he has to develop more of an all-around game. He's just a more of a highlight film. He reminds me a little bit more of Kenyon Martin because he's sort of one-dimensional on the offensive end, and he's not half the defender Kenyon is. So I'm talking about on the offensive end. He reminds me a lot of Kenyon. When Jason got there, he was able to get him the ball, was able to do some things. Lost the ball, was a little bit of a jump shot, a little bit of here, a little bit of there. But Kenyon was a 10 times better defender than him, so that's besides the point. Chris Paul, yes. Memphis doesn't really have anybody. I don't think you want to consider Zach Randolph a Hall of Famer. That doesn't really look it. Durant, Durant, I do agree with you. I think Durant's in. I think he's going to make it in. Westbrook is on the cusp in my eyes because there's a lot of guys out there who does what he does.
Westbrook, again, Westbrook and Derrick Rose, pretty similar. I think Westbrook will get in, but I really think that what we're looking at here is there's a ton of guys in the NBA that do have 3 to 5 years of experience, and they're trending that way. So you can't say that they're a surefire Hall of Famer because they've only been doing it for 5 years. But there seems to be, you know, a little bit of a gap in how many guys that have been in the league, let's say, between 5 and 10 years that are absolute locks for the Hall of Fame. You know, there's not many of those. There's a couple of old guys that are, you know, have a year or two left that are absolutely going to get in. But I do think that there is somewhat of a gap in between that 5 and 10 years into the league where there's not that many Hall of Famers. So I do agree with you there.
I also think that also, again, people got on the Thunder's case for not re-signing James Harden and trading him away. I look at it a little bit differently. I think there's a lot of guys in this league who can do what James Harden does. He's a scorer. There's guys who can score. Look, Carmelo Anthony is a scorer. We don't know how really good of a defender Anthony is, but he is a scorer. James Harden, the Thunder had to make a choice between Serge Ibaka or James Harden. Now, Ibaka brings a lot of other things to the table. Harden can just score the ball. I think the Thunder is going to miss that, but there's only a certain amount of money that can go around for every player, and unlike the NFL, the NBA, you can't restructure your contracts to make things work out, cap-wise. I really think that Ibaka brings such a different feel to the Thunder, where he can do rebounding, blocking shots, just doing all the little things, screen setting, helping set the offense. He does more than Harden does. And so what they got back for James Harden is simply amazing. You got three draft picks, Kevin Martin, and two young players. I think that's a great deal. And I think they lucked out.
I agree with you. Well, what James Harden's a scorer. So is Kevin Durant, and so is Russell Westbrook. So you have those two guys that have no problem scoring, so you don't need a third. So I agree with you 1,000%. It was a good move. We don't need scoring. We need role players. So, but to touch on your other point of, Harden is just a scorer. You know, there are a lot of guys that are in the Hall of Fame that were just scorers. You know, look at Dominique Wilkins, look at Clyde Drexler. These guys are Hall of Famers because they can score. So who knows? James Harden might become a Hall of Famer with the Houston Rockets because he can score.
Yeah, and again, what's missing from like that 1990s feel NBA compared to now is free agency didn't pull the players away, like the superstars. The superstars didn't pick up and just leave. In the 90s, you knew David Robinson was a member of the Spurs. You knew, I think Shaq was the first one that really picked up and left the franchise. Now, there's been superstars and Hall of Famers traded, like Drexler was traded to Houston. But it was the first time, really, like Shaq, I believe, leaving Orlando to go to Los Angeles, was the first time that, like, that franchise guy, the guy who you'd pay your money to go watch, left.
Hmm.
You know,
was Barkley traded or was that a free agent?
Barkley was traded. He forced his way out of Philly, and he traded from Philly to Phoenix. It was a very, very one-sided deal. I think the Suns gave up Jeff Hornacek, Tim Perry, Manute Bol. not a lot of great players to get Barkley.
And I think you touched on it, Randy. It's a different NBA today. I mean, just look at the Miami Heat. You have Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James all signing. You know, they're all friends these days. You have very little animosity in the NBA from one player or another. They all hang out together. They're friends. And, you know, I said it when this happened, when LeBron, Bosh, and Wade ended up staying with Miami. You know, that's the new NBA. There's going to be five or six super teams because all of the friends are going to get together and maybe take a little less money. And those five or six teams are going to be the only people that actually have an opportunity to win an NBA championship, which is why, back from our caller earlier from Indianapolis, it's certainly admirable that you're building the team like the Pacers, but you know what? it's a lot easier, and you're going to produce a better team if you can just sign three of the best free agents out there. And that's how you're going to win these days. You know, just look at the Lakers, you know. So it's a different world. As I said, five or six teams can win the championship, and then everybody else has no chance.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question and see how much you're up on your NBA right now. If I asked you who the hottest team in the Western Conference is right now, who would you tell me? I'll give you five choices. The Spurs, which, by the way, besides Duncan, you have Parker and Ginobili, which can be considered for the Hall of Fame.
We missed Tony Parker.
The Spurs, the Thunder, the Grizzlies, Clippers, the Nuggets, or the Lakers? Who's the hottest team?
Geez, you're putting me on the spot here. I will go with the Denver Nuggets.
That is correct, my friends. Winner of eight in a row, 42-22, 9-1 in their last 10, averaging 102 points a game, giving up 98.4, 28-11 in the conference, but 14-19 on the road. So they're 28-3 in Denver.
That's a problem.
What did you say?
But that's going to be a little bit of a problem when it comes to the playoffs. But let me ask you this question. Are you telling me that you're going to take, in a seven-game series, you'll take the Denver Nuggets if they're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Nope. If the playoffs started today, these are the playoff matchups. The Spurs host Utah. Again, Utah, you know, we were talking about the Lakers trying to overtake Houston to get into that eight spot. Houston, over even with a loss last night, the Jazz have lost four in a row and are holding on to that eight spot. So if this playoff started today, the Spurs have Utah in round one. Obviously, I would take San Antonio in that series. The Thunder would host the Houston Rockets, which would be great because of James Harden going back to Oklahoma City. I think that sets up some great basketball right there.
A lot of points.
I would love to see. I think some of the best playoff series are the round one playoff series. You know, the underdog series, not really knowing what you're going to get, and that type of series would be awesome. The Memphis Grizzlies would host the Golden State Warriors. I think that would probably be one of the Saturday acts. Like, that would be like the Saturday playoff game, because nobody would really, outside of Memphis and Golden State, are going to really care. And then the Clippers would host the Denver Nuggets. And like we just talked about, you know, playing on the road. I really, really like the Clippers. Like, I think they're veterans. They're just so stacked. Love Jamal Crawford, Chris Paul, Karam Butler. They just can't play their center, DeAndre Jordan, in the fourth quarter because he can't hit free throws. You talk about Dwight Howard being a bad free throw shooter? Must be a Los Angeles thing. They just can't hit free throws out there. So I like that dynamic. I really, 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 really do. I just think that the Memphis Grizzlies, I can't take them seriously.
Yeah, well, they've never done it before, so, you know, I don't blame you. But, you know, again, to me, you can pencil in Oklahoma City in the final, in the Western Conference Finals. Who are they going to play? I don't know. The Spurs are always one, just like any team is, but they're a little bit more vulnerable because they have older players. So, you know, if Tony Parker, who actually is hurt now, I think, with an ankle, but you know, Ginobili, Duncan, these guys aren't young. So as we've seen with the Knicks, older guys get hurt more. So to me, it's a rematch of last year, Randy. It's Oklahoma City, Miami Heat, round two.
Last thing about the NBA, then we're going to move on. Do you see that the Celtics, without Rajon Rondo, they've won five in a row, second hottest team in the Eastern Conference behind the Miami Heat. They're 12.5 back, two games out of the four spot.
Yeah, it's impressive. I think it speaks to Doc Rivers being a great coach. They don't have a ton of talent on that team. They're old, but they know how to play together. Doc Rivers is a great coach. He always gets them ready to go. But again, I know I sound like a broken record here. If you're in the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 spot, you know, you're not winning the NBA championship. It's not happening. All you're doing is not getting a high draft pick. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to you want to tank games, but even a team like Boston, you know, yeah, they had a great year, but they're not going to benefit from this next year, and they're certainly not going to win a championship this year.
760-283-0846, 760-283-0846 to talk to the great Jay Pasillo and myself, Randy Zelia, Real Sports Talk Radio. Jay, by the way, where can they find you if people want to reach out, contact you, and talk with you?
You can email me at jamespacello@hotmail.com.
Okay, excellent. Let's go back to the NFL for a few seconds here, and there's some news being happened. News broke early this morning. Reggie Bush reportedly will not return to the Miami Dolphins in 2013. Any surprises here?
Am I surprised to hear that?
Yeah.
No. Does that mean that he's being cut, Randy, or he's a free agent that just isn't going to re-sign? What's the...
It looks like, courtesy of ESPN, Reggie Bush reportedly has played his last game in the Miami uniform. The Miami Herald, citing an unnamed source close to Bush, reported Sunday that the running back will not return to the team next season. Three teams contacted Bush once the NFL's three-day negotiating period opened Saturday at midnight, but the Dolphins haven't shown any interest in retaining him, the source told the newspaper. So meaning that he was already a free agent and they just had no interest in bringing him back whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised to really hear about anybody coming or going. It's a business. It's all economics. Reggie Bush, coming off a pretty decent year, probably wanted, a lot of money. So they probably think that they can get a player of his caliber for lesser dollars, which, again, then you can add other players. And a team like Miami, who is certainly, Reggie Bush is not going to win them the Super Bowl, so they need to be a little frugal with their money and, spend it in the right places. So, unfortunately, that's how it works sometimes. You have a good year, you want a lot of money, okay, the team that you just had success with, they can't afford to give that to you right now, so you take your talents out of South Beach.
Not used to hearing that. And, Jay, with that being said, I want to introduce and bring in our good friend from Houston, Texas, Patrick Creighton. Patrick, good morning. Or should we say good afternoon at this point? We're almost at the noon hour. Patrick, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Randy. How are you, man?
You have Jay Pasillo here as well.
Hey, dear Patrick.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing good, man. We're about an hour behind you guys over here, and apparently since I've gotten to Houston, which is almost 2 weeks, I picked up insomnia along the way, and I haven't been able to actually sleep for more than 3 hours in a night. it's just been like one of the, I can't even explain it. I think it's just one of those, it's not your bed, it's not your house, so you can't sleep type deals.
Well, I want to bring you into some of these conversations. I'm sorry about the sleeping issue. I apologize for that. But I want to bring
that's not your fault.
This is true. I guess we'll start where we're talking, then we'll backtrack a little bit. Reggie Bush, who was announced today, will probably not be back with the Miami Dolphins. A lot of different cuts happening. James Harrison, we were talking about it, is done in Pittsburgh. What is happening right now in the NFL? In your opinion, where does Bush go, and where do some of these other high-priced names go, if they go anywhere?
Well, usually, when you have a guy who gets cut, Anquan Boldin could be on that block today also. Here's a guy who just came off a massive postseason where he had 380 yards and 4 touchdowns in 4 games. But he wouldn't take a pay cut from the Ravens, who are, hurting for cash. They're trying to sign Danelle Ellerbe to a contract, and they were looking for Anquan Boldin, not even to get an extension and lower his cap number, but to just take a flat-out pay cut and hand the team back money. And he wouldn't do it. So there's a guy who also could be on the chopping block today, as the new league year starts on the 12th. So everybody's got to get their cap down to under $123 million by the 12th. you know, there's a market for these guys. You know, the interesting thing, though, is usually when a guy gets cut by a team for cap purposes, whatever amount of money they're making, they usually wind up getting a deal or accepting a deal for less money than what they would have made initially. So, you know, for a guy like Anquan Boldin, who's due to make $6 million this year, you know, this guy's probably going to wind up signing between $4 and $6 million. You know, James Harrison's an interesting case because here's a guy who, you know, 4 years ago, he's a defensive player of the year. And he's still a guy who is, you know, a fierce competitor. But how much does his history with his mouth and his history with being a headhunter and now his history of injuries, how much does that hurt him? So it's going to be interesting, Mark, to see, you know, who's willing to take a risk on a guy like Harrison because he's that risk-reward player.
With that also being said, you being up from originally from the New York area, we're going to talk about your transition to Houston that we were talking about yesterday. I filled Jay in a little bit on the story about the cable situation down there. But before we jump into that, kind of the names that have been cut so far, who's going to be first to find a home? What's there a need for out there?
I don't know so much as I don't know that I can tell you who's the first to find a home. I mean, part of it's going to be, you know, who's the first to find a team that's ready to spend money. You know, there are certain teams like the Colts and the Eagles, the Browns, the Bucks. They've got a ton of money to spend. You know, all those teams are $30 million or more under the cap, and they can just write a check anytime they want. You know, other teams, you know, like the Texans, for example, their cap is pretty tight. And realistically, you know, the Texans have some needs down here that, I mean, they're going to need to find ways to create money under the cap to address some of those needs because they just don't have the money. You know, the Steelers are another team. You know, they released Harrison. They're now $6.5 million under the cap. But they're not bringing back Mike Wallace, and now they just lost James Harrison. So those are two guys that are going to be real tough to replace. Realistically, if you ask me among the three there between Bush and Harrison and possibly Anquan Boldin, if he can get a little lead, I would think Boldin might be the first to get signed because of the postseason that he just had. Here's a guy who had 65 catches last year, 45 of them first downs. So, you know, Anquan Boldin is still a highly productive player in this league, and he's probably among those three guys. I would say he'd probably be the best bet for success. And, you know, Boldin is 32, so you're probably talking about, you know, a two-year deal. Something in between $4 and $6 million per, so it's a reasonable contract for a guy who's still very productive. I think he might be the first to go.
Moving over now, Pat, because I know you're busy down there in Houston. I know you're on later on today. You want to tell everybody where you're going to be on, so if they want to check you out.
Sure, I'm on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, which is the CBS station down here in Houston. You can get it on sportsradio610.com. You can also find it on the CBS Audio Roadshow app. And, of course, it's on the TuneIn Radio app for your mobile device as well. I'm on 2 to 5 Central Time today with Paul Gallant, so 3 to 6 on the East Coast.
Like we were saying before, and I'd like to hear you and Jay converse about the situation, is Jay has a little bit of a different opinion than you have about the Cablevision situation or the Comcast situation down there. Can you go into a little bit more detail about what's going on with the Astros and the Rockets and their fan base as far as being able to watch their games?
Well, the Astros and the Rockets, you know, made a deal with Comcast where they made their own channel. So now the Astros, the Rockets, and Comcast, they all own a piece of this channel. The Astros have the biggest piece. They have like 45% of this thing. The Rockets own like little 30 and change, and then Comcast owns the rest. All right, but Comcast is only available, you know, in about 40% of the city. You can't, you know, depending on where you are, you can't just get Comcast. And they're holding out. They want $3.40 per subscriber from the other carriers, you know, the satellite providers and stuff like that, to carry this channel. And their benchmark for this is what they see, you know, way up in the Dallas area, what the Rangers Mavs type channel gets, and what they see in other major markets, you know, and Houston is a major market. It is technically, you know, it's the sixth biggest market in the country. So they're looking for that going rate of $3.40 per subscriber. But in reality, you know, and this isn't necessarily, you know, the single barometer, but if you look at the Rangers had a lot of success. They've gone to a couple of World Series. The Mavs won a title a couple of years ago. The Rockets are rebuilding, and the Astros are, well, they're probably beneath rebuilding. So you're looking at two teams, but specifically, listen, the Astros are so bad this year. And this is kind of troubling for me, just from a baseball standpoint. You have a team that for the last 10 years has spent between $65 and $108 million on payroll every year, whose payroll is under $30 million. It's the lowest payroll, I think, since 2006 in all of baseball. So, you know, that includes the Marlins, that includes the Rays, that includes the Royals. It's the lowest payroll in, like, 6 years in the league. This team has a brand new owner in Jim Crane, a guy who tried to buy the Rangers before that and lost out to the group that Nolan Ryan was with. So Jim Crane, new owner, you know, they brush up the logo to make it nicer and update it. They're moving to the American League this year. They're in the AL West now for the first time, same division as their interstate rival, the Rangers. And instead of putting money into the team or rebuilding the team on the field, they, you know, listen, to their credit, they rebuilt the farm system. But the on-field product, the major league level, will challenge the Mets for futility from 62. It's that bad. They will challenge the all-time record for losses this year. They're going to be that bad.
Wow.
But the bigger is when you're negotiating your contract, you know, that's what people are seeing. They're seeing, you know, a basketball team that, you know, might win 46, 48 games this year. They're seeing a baseball team that, you know, can rival all-time futility. And then they're like, well, why am I paying $3.40 per customer? You guys are out of your minds. And because they're set on that number, they can't come to an agreement with anybody. So 60% of the city cannot watch the Astros or the Rockets. And my understanding is that the Astros are kind of the, you know, the hard edge here. They will not budge on the number. So even if the Rockets have said, you know, well, listen, we'll negotiate, the Astros will not negotiate. And they have the biggest part of a channel. So the Rockets, you know, we're, what, almost two-thirds of the way through the season, and they're not available in 60% of the city. To give you an example, in the hotel that I'm staying at while I try to find a place to live down here in Houston, I can't watch the Rockets. I don't have a channel. I went to a Buffalo Wild Wings locally here in Houston, thinking, oh, you know what, I can watch the Rockets at Buffalo Wild Wings, right? Wings, beer, sports. Nope, no Rockets. I went to like five different places, no Rockets. So I can't even go somewhere to watch them because, you know, apparently the majority of people down here, they don't have Comcast. They've got some kind of a satellite provider. So that's
wow.
It's just a really messed up scenario where, you know, you've got the local teams and it's almost like they're blacked out. And part of it is because the Astros have taken its hard stance on this fixed number of what they want per customer. It's like it's almost a self-imposed blackout. But the Astros haven't been missing games. The Rockets have been missing games. So I'm interested to see how long into the regular season for baseball does this continue? Because then the Rockets won't be on, the Astros won't be on TV, and then how long will they turn around and say, okay, well, you know what, now we're tired of missing money. But while the Rockets have been playing since November, the Astros haven't budged.
Wow.
Well, I have a couple of comments there. Number one, Patrick, who's going to win more games this year, the Rockets or the Astros?
Probably the Rockets.
And then number two, maybe ownership of the Astros, they recognize how bad they're going to be, so they view it as a positive if fewer people in the Houston area can actually watch them on TV.
Well, you know, I just think that that's never a positive, you know. And
yeah,
here's the other thing. You know, I understand when you're trying to rebuild a team, they traded off all their veterans and they rebuilt their farm system, which arguably was the worst in baseball. I mean, they really had a bare system. They restocked the system. You know, they brought in Jeff Luhnow from St. Louis to rebuild that system, and they did that. And I applaud them for that. My problem is, you know, in New York, we've talked about, you know, are the Mets punting 2013? The Mets have a $90-plus million payroll. And, you know, while you look at the Mets outfield and you go, oh, man, you know, they don't really have a quality major league outfielder. They still have Ike Davis, and they still have Dave Wright. You know, and Ruben Tejada is a serviceable player. The Astros have none of that. You know, they signed Carlos Pena to be the first baseman this year. Carlos Pena hit 197 last year. You know, what quality major leaguer hits under 200? Jose Altuve, he's a guy who's got some promise, but the rest of that team, you know, Tyler Green at short. The outfield is Fernando Martinez, J.D. Martinez. You know, I mean, there's no quality major league regular on that team, and that's scary. That you could have a team with that little talent on it, and then just say, you know what, we're not even going to try to sign it. When your payroll is that low and you're in this big a market, the other team's got a track record of spending money with the new owner. This is certainly a team that could have signed some quality, you know, major league talent. And I understand that you're not looking at becoming a division winner, but you want to compete. And if you want to compete, you sign some guys. You sign players, and I'm not saying overspend for, you know, a mediocre player and sign the long-term deals. I'm not saying that. But you can get a quality starter, a left-handed reliever, and a right-handed bat, all things that come to trade deadline, teams that are in the playoff hunt are going to want. And they're going to give you something for. And you get a couple of those guys so that your kids can continue to develop down at AA and AAA. And then at the deadline, you move those pieces. You get more prospects because, you know, there's only two ways to get prospects. Either you draft them, you trade for them. You can only draft so many. After that, you have to, you know, you have to go out and acquire pieces. So to not utilize all avenues to gain maximum talent doesn't make any sense to me. The product that they're putting on the major league level at full price, mind you, you know, there's no – you know, this isn't, okay, we were cutting our ticket prices in half because we cut our payroll, you know, by two-thirds. There's no discount on the tickets. There's no discount on the parking or the concessions. They're looking for people to pay full price for a team that's going to lose 120 games.
I wouldn't expect a lot of attendance then.
No, and that's it. You know, I mean, Minute Maid Park is a beautiful park. The place is going to be a ghost town in August. You know, provided it even lasts that long. And I don't see how that makes good business. And I don't see how that helps build your brand. I don't see how that helps further Astros baseball. You know, and to be in your first year in the American League, first year in the AL West, first year with a new owner, and you're just going to completely drop 10 and kick on a whole season, I take issue with the fact. I take issue with that. You can't tell me there's ever an excuse to just not compete. You know, if you had a team that decided it was going to stop competing, you'd call those guys a bunch of quitters. Well, what is it when it starts at the ownership level? Because that's what the Astros have. Their ownership decided we're just not going to compete. And that's sickening.
It's all about the money, I guess.
Now, Pat, I know we're against the clock, and I know Jay's against the clock. I really want to quickly want to get your opinion on, we were discussing the NBA earlier today. We had a call from Indiana to discuss the Pacers and how they can hang with the Heat. Do you think that the Pacers can hang with the Heat?
No. Nobody in the Eastern Conference can hang with the Heat. Even if the Knicks were at full health and were dropping every three in town, in a seven-game series, they cannot hang with the Heat. And realistically, a healthy Knicks team is the second-best team in the East. They can't hang with the Heat. The Pacers can't hang with the Heat. Even with Danny Granger back, they can't hang with the Heat. They can't score enough consistently. And you know what? When you get into that series and the Heat decide to bring their lockdown D, because they don't play that kind of defense all year long, you know, they don't bring that playoff intensity. They turn it up. And they've got the best player in the world, and it's not even close. You know, we've seen LeBron James put his game on a different level this year. When he gets to the playoffs, it goes up again, and nobody can touch him. And realistically, I haven't seen anything from any team this year that says the Miami Heat are not winning another title. Because you tell me where the defense is coming from in Oklahoma City, because Kevin Durant doesn't play any defense. And in the playoffs last year, LeBron embarrassed Kevin Durant. Because Kevin Durant can't cover LeBron James to save his life, and LeBron was all up in his grill. So they're not beating the Heat. San Antonio probably can't stay healthy long enough to even get there. The Clippers are not in their league. The Clippers are not there. You know, the Clippers are a good regular season team. They're not there. They don't have, you know, Blake Griffin still. I'm not sold on Griffin. The guy's a great dunker. But where's the outside shot? Where's the foul shooting? It's not always there. You're not beating the Heat like that. To me, Miami is still head and shoulders the class of the league, and everybody else falls in line a half a mile behind.
Mr. Creighton, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us, taking a few minutes of your time. I appreciate it. I know things are different for you out there in Houston. I bet you the Mexican food's pretty nice.
Yeah, I can't really eat that without dying. So we're watching what we eat because there's a lot of stuff out here that holds spicier than normal. And I don't do spicy so well. I've been introduced to a couple of new things. They have something out here called Whataburger, which I'd never heard of before, which apparently, you know, in Texas you're not allowed to say anything bad about Whataburger. So I'll say that all the drinks are huge. And they have Diet Dr. Pepper on fountain, which is awesome. They still have... And this is like all the places out here. They still use these gigantic non-biodegradable styrofoam cups that in New York, Mayor Bloomberg would give their birth to a flaming porcupine if he saw these things in a restaurant. Texas is a carry state, so apparently you're allowed to just walk around with a gun in Texas. So you'll go into different places and you'll see a sign that says, no guns welcome in here. And I'm like... The first time I saw it, I walked close and I'm like, who the hell walks around with guns? And they're like, oh, you'd be surprised. A lot of people have carry permits. So I'm like, really? It's like the Wild West out here. People just walk around with guns. So,
well,
It's pretty cool. But I'll say this: it's been the weather is great. It's like being on vacation. It's like 8 degrees instead of 30. People are very friendly anywhere you go. Even if you just go into a little burger joint, they're friendly. They greet you. They bring you your food. They try to take your tray. They're polite. Please, thank you. You know, not next. It's a different world. I mean, everybody is polite and pleasant, and sometimes I wonder if they're actually talking to me.
Bradley, thank you for taking a few minutes coming on with us today, buddy.
All right, bro. Thank you. Take care.
Yeah. He certainly does bring an interesting perspective, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was good. I enjoyed him.
Jay, it's funny too. I'm sitting around right now, and I just noticed that they're showing the Knick game from last night for at MSG. You being a Nets fan, I know it's our me being a Nets fan too. It's in our DNA. We're supposed to hate the Knicks. I totally disagree with what Pat was saying that if healthy, the Knicks are the second best team in the Eastern Conference. I totally disagree with that. I think that they're old. I think when your best three players can't be on the floor together at the same time, it causes a lot of issues. J.R. Smith, Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony can't be on the floor at the same time. There's not enough shots to go around. I totally disagree with them. I think the Pacers are number two at full health, and when they're actually rolling, I think the Celtics are number three. And I think you can start making arguments where the Knicks, the Nets, the Hawks, the Bulls. Well, I think the Bulls with Derrick Rose are probably better than the Knicks and the Nets. That's my general feeling. They just have to get fully healthy. I totally disagree with what Patrick had to say about the Knicks being the second best team in the East.
Yeah, well, I think you can make a case for all those teams you just mentioned, but the fact of the matter is when you go from one to whoever number two is, that is
a big
drop-off.
It's a huge gap.
It's a big drop-off. So, you can put Miami in the barring an injury to LeBron James, the Miami Heat will be in the Eastern Conference Final, or will be in the NBA Finals. No doubt about it.
All right, well, you heard it from Jay. Jay, I think we're done. I think we're done, my friend. I think we covered everything we needed to cover. I appreciate you sitting in. If you want to come back on next week, I believe there's, this is not official yet. We'll make this official on either Tuesday or Wednesday. I believe young Gary Casper will be next to me on the computer, doing the show with Mr. Herman Edwards calling in. So we can really break down NFL free agency next week if you want to come back and join us.
Yeah, let's talk this week. We'll figure it out. I'm not sure where exactly I'm going to be this weekend, but one more food for thought as it's related to sports here. We've got Tiger Woods up four shots on Graham McDowell at the Cadillac Championship in golf today. Does he hold on and win?
I agree
with you. He's never lost when he's been up by three shots or more. He's never lost, so I don't think it's going to start today.
How often do you play golf?
When there's not snow on the ground, once or twice a week.
Once or twice a week. And then who's a better golfer? Is it you, Casper, Peter, or an unnamed person from the group there?
You said Casper? Clearly not. It's not Gary. It's not Neil. I don't know. I thought a more appropriate question would be, who's a better golfer, me or Tiger Woods? But we could probably spend a whole show on that.
I understand. I understand that you actually can hold your own with Tiger. And I'm not even talking about like golf. I'm talking about like drinking and possible other activities.
Be careful what you say here. My wife might be listening.
Yeah, listen. I'm not trying to cause any problems at home. I think we should possibly get a beer pong competition to go. You and Casper versus Tiger and a partner renamed, and I think the level playing field would balance out.
Let's do it. I'm in. I appreciate it, Randy. Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming on, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All That was the great Jay Pasillo joining us for majority of the show today. Been flying alone. Jose's be off in the next couple weeks. Be filling in with different people here and there. We're going to be deciding where we're going to be going as far as Real Sports Talk Radio is concerned. Backsportspage.com. Really recommend everybody stick around and see what we've been doing over the next few weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of different things happening. Big guests and big things happening as well. You can check in with us if you'd like. 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. Just sort of winding down here. I'm going to do the last few minutes here of NBA talk. Something that we're talking about as far as the NBA Eastern Conference. Listen, I think there's ways you can beat the Miami Heat. I know Jay said there's a lot of what ifs, ifs ands, buts, what they could do, what they can't do. I still think at the end of the day, if you have a team like Indiana who can bang bodies for a 7-game series with the Pacers, with the Miami Heat, I still think the Miami Heat can be beaten. They have a lot of 3-point shooting, a lot of transition buckets, but when you start playing a grind out, banging type basketball, those transition points sort of disappear. And I don't know if the Miami can handle and hang with a team like the Pacers when it comes down to a banging type of competition going back and forth in the paint. They don't have a post scorer. When LeBron James and Chris Bosh are your best post scorers, I have issues. They don't have LeBron James is leading that team in rebounding. So you're telling me one of the best power forwards in basketball, Chris Bosh, can't lead your only team in rebounding? We have some issues. We have some major issues if you're a Miami Heat fan. Hoping to see the Heat down in Miami by the end of this month. We're going to be checking out them versus the New York Knicks. Might be broadcasting live from the game. So might be able to check that out. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll be able to possibly get a couple guests on or two. Also, next week, like I said, we're breaking down the NFL free agency this upcoming week with some very special guests. One guest that is confirmed, Herman Edwards, will be from ESPN, will be live with us this upcoming Sunday. He'll be on with us around the 11:45 time slot. We have some big, big things coming through backsportspage.com this week. So check it out. We're busting out a little early. See everybody next week. For Real Sports Talk Radio, I'm Randy Zellia, backsportspage.com.